Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the joy of coming before you as brothers and sisters. We thank you, Lord, that we have our own lives and our own thoughts and minds and relationships with you. And as we come together, we're reminded of the benefit of a fellowship and of brothers and sisters, and the assurance we have and the joy we have in recognizing your presence and you with us, and the wonder of you sharing your own life and spirit with each one of us. So as we study today, we pray you'd guide us and bring us a revelation on our understanding and the joy of an awareness of your presence and the richness of the knowledge of your own person and life. So we come dependent upon you with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. 2 weeks ago, we took a little different look at the study, and the subject of the study was our own experience in relationship to the life of God. And we've been looking at how John unfolds to us, having an awareness of that life, some of the things that he points out, whether we've been aware of them or not, that have been derived from that, or benefits of that, or attributes that we begin to participate in relationship to the life of God. And we want to look a little bit at how the side of God and some of the if we put it in the same terms, the joy and the benefit that he is the recipient of in having his house. You think of in Ephesians the second or the end of the first chapter, where in the prayer of Paul, where the Father wants us to know the benefits that he has derived from the work of the Son in the, actually we'd probably put it in terms of the making and the birthing of his house for himself. Mm-hmm. and the ramifications of that. So there's that, and we will eventually talk much more about that. I want to get an input in our thought stream, so to speak, that each of us at different times that might come to mind, you might think about that. And along those lines, then let's flip it over to us, and in a rather open dialogue somewhat not of a challenge, but of a query. I'd like us to address the side of what's the benefit of having the life of God as my very own. What's it like, and what's it mean to me? One of the things we'd get at, somewhat distant from the personal, right out of the bat, is some of that might come up in, as you share the gospel, what do I want that for? So what's the benefits to me of the life of God? Not only what's it like, because we've been talking about that, we haven't been talking about it from our real perspective, we've been unfolding what John points out. Mm-hmm. Each one of us have the resonant life of God in us. Each one of us are constantly, whether you realize it or not, being made aware by the Holy Spirit of his presence in us. Now, we talk from the perspective of, well, what's that like? We'd say, well, I love and I don't hate. Mm-hmm. And John points that out, and we go, oh yeah, that's right. Or, my guilt's been removed. And, oh yeah, that's right. And how have I noticed that? So from our side of it, what's the big deal about the life of God? I walk around planet Earth, why would I want that? Mm-hmm. God, the Father, wants us to know and be quite comfortable with where his residence in his house, and the way he conveys that to us in his presence, as John points out, is coming to an awareness of the wonder and the great joy it is that he is that. So how we might describe it, you can use John's words, But, and we might opt to that, but I'd suggest that we need to put a little bit more thought into it than opting for the party line, so to speak. Mm-hmm. It's in chapter 4, and I can repeat it. That might pass the church confirmation quiz, but that isn't what we're about. Why should I want that? And then when I come to a comfortable place and assurance that not only it's so, but I want it more and more, then I actually have something to share with somebody else. Mm-hmm. So that's what I thought we'd let today run quite freely about, and it might be quite quiet for a while until we start thinking about it a bit. But now the contrast to this is coming to a comfortable place, as John has pointed out to us, that I love and don't hate, what a wonder, is why should I want the life of God? Now, he points out to us, the Holy Spirit points out to us in our experience that it is the, and I'm giving us one answer, it's the only thing that I have found in my life that satisfies the desire of my heart. Now, that's a paraphrase from different parts of the scripture, but in our experience, we should, if we haven't, he wants to bring us to a place of that. In other words, when we say the pearl of great price, or I'm to love God above all things and so on, we're really talking about that developed love, an appreciation. And not only theologically we can know that I wasn't made for anything else, we can come to that, but we need to know that in our own little organic being, that I wasn't made for anything. This is the only thing that satisfies me. How does it do that? So why would I want this life? Mm-hmm. Then I have something to share, but I need to know why I want it. Am I kind of clear? Mm-hmm. So I'm a little afraid and anxious and apprehensive of cutting this discussion loose and letting it run, but let's just see what happens. I've been saving that sarcasm up for 2 weeks. You're going to get a lot of it today. Okay. So you know what I'm asking? I mean, and again, if we start to reflect on it, well, I know I got love and I don't have hate and I have forgiveness of sins, I don't have guilt. And I don't love the world. I don't even know what that is and all that type of stuff. But it's why do I want this? Okay. So it boils down to, we can be as selfish as we want to be. At the root of our being, we just got through a paragraph that says, I have the nature of God. Mm-hmm. And we've asked, well, what's that like? And we should begin to know. Mm-hmm. And if you think about what a wonderful package of stuff, if it's all real and true, to be able to share with somebody. Right. I mean, you're not talking about the four principles of sharing the gospel and the cross bridges the gap and all that time. We're not talking like that. We're talking about real stuff that I'm a witness and a testimony of. Not in written responses that would satisfy the quiz questions. Okay? So just one like is, and I would assume we've all experienced that he's the most satisfying thing that is. And then the wonder that he's my life and all that type of thing. So, how is he satisfying? Okay. Generic questions would come in sharing the gospel. Anybody receiving the gospel messages, if they aren't driven there by absolute guilt and want to be delivered from the pit type of approach, is why should I want that as a human being walking earth? Mm-hmm. Why should I even want that? Right. And so, I mean, that's a distant example. Okay, so we're good?
Yeah.
Take your time, there's no rush on it. But just...
Well, I think as we've been going over this material really for a number of years now, I, for one, was not sure exactly, when I became a Christian. I can look back at, a high school experience, and I can look back at a Bible camp experience, and other sort of events. But it was always, I think, an intellectual sort of theoretical thing. And it's only as we've been going through this and I've really been thinking through Christ as my life, what on earth does that mean? And as I gradually, got my arms around it and got my head around it and explored that, I began to realize that right deep down, all I can say is, well, there's nothing going on. There is no turmoil. There's no angst. There's this sort of, I suppose, complete peace right in my inmost being. And I look, and I keep coming back to that, and I think, well, okay, well, so that then is, for me, the expression or the result of the resident life, because I don't sense any separation, I don't sense any burden, and then out of that, then I come to realize that I get greater understanding, that I can ask questions for which I absolutely do not know the answer, which is why I'm asking the questions. And then, lo and behold, I do know the answer. And I can't explain that except that I've had someone give me an understanding or a revelation, so that has enabled me to understand something more fully. And that has been a constant source of wonder over the last few years. My experience is that when I'm, if there's any trouble or anything, I just go back to, wow, right in my innermost being, there's this calm, and I know I can go there, and it's always there. So I need not be troubled. Now, I know it says that, I need not be, but I am.
Right.
And in fact, my question really, that I think goes along with this, Mark, is that I have this inner peace and reconciliation with God, fellowship with God, the outworking of which is very practical in terms of how I see things, how I understand things. And then, though, I look at Jesus, and I look at him in the boat, and in very trying circumstances, at least for his disciples, he was asleep. And his disciples certainly were not. They were very agitated, and they were in fear of their lives. So this. Sorry.
Sure. Go ahead.
I'll just turn that off. So I look and I think, okay, so he would have had, or I have, the same relationship as he has, so the same peace that he knew, because he was one with his Father, I believe I know that. However, the outworking of that in his life was far more profound than I perceive it to be for me. What do I do when I'm in a storm? Am I asleep? Or can I rest to the same degree that he can rest? And I find right now that there's a tension and in terms of circumstances that I'm faced with, or things that I'm working through, and I've been able just recently to be able to separate out, well, that's got nothing to do with the rest that I know and the peace that I have. So how do I, where are my handles to get that expression of peace more complete in all areas, in all situations that I come up against?
Sure.
Is that something that I need to do? I don't want to be involved with works. I don't want to be sort of doing things. I really want to have the expression of God and that peace to be extended into all areas. But I'm not there yet, because I experience, as I say, tension.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to, and the way I've resolved it right now is that, okay, the only way I can learn to completely trust and rely on the Lord in trying circumstances is have the Lord present me with trying circumstances in which I can learn. And I'm trusting that because, his hand of love, he can then train me and teach me. And that's where I am at the moment. And I'm not quite sure sort of how that works out, because it's not resolved.
Sure.
I don't have the answer yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really looking forward to be able to share with others, okay, well, this is the answer to that. You might have the peace. Well, if you have tension or conflict or whatever else, this is the answer for that. And it has to be in terms of how did Jesus cope with that? When he says, be anxious for nothing. That is absolutely, the Father's heart, that as his sons, we should be anxious for nothing. So we let our concerns be known to him, and then his peace will fill our hearts. Well, it's that second piece. Okay.
Right.
So that's what I'm working through. And that's practically, right now, my experience of Christ my life. And I wouldn't have it any other way, because when I look out, good grief, the only place I can go is him. That's the only rock solid thing in my life, is he within me. And I try to understand life without him, and there's this sense of panic, because where would you go, what would you do, who would you talk to, who would you trust?
Sure.
And there's nothing, there's just him.
So in the context of our discussion, and we'll follow that particular question up, but in the context of our discussion, one of the things why I would want this life of value and so on, is at the very least, I think you had also in there that because he's present in me, mm-hmm. I have this peace.
Yeah.
I may be bewildered and perplexed by everything outside of that.
Yes.
But I'm in the midst of that, and while all this is going on, whether it's resolved or not, I have the joy of a peace,
mm-hmm.
that without him, fearful that it would be, I know I wouldn't have.
Yeah.
So just in the sense of one thing I might list, reference to why should I want this life, what's the good of it for me, is there's a peace that's beyond my comprehension. Want to put words in your mouth, but there's a peace that doesn't come from anything else, and it's because of his presence. Whether you're adding the best I can determine it's from his presence, or I know it is, there's those two things that I assume you're saying, you know that it is. because you began with I don't know when I became a Christian type thing. And if one would say, well, I know that it is He, doesn't matter when it happened,
right.
I know He's present within me, i.e. I'm His child.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, so there we have at least that. Anybody good with that? In reference to, and then we'll address the perplexities of everything surrounding that. But there, so there's that, mm-hmm. That one. And the course of our discussion, it should become apparent that part of the answer to your question will surface.
Yes.
If you're okay there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So those are the types of things we're looking for in the sense of, and I mean, you could pull out 100 scriptures that would point to He's my rock, mm-hmm. He's my Savior. What does that mean? And all that down to in the midst of no matter what, the mountains are falling around me. You know, Revelation, I have peace. Mm-hmm. And in that, then you could in all the different scriptures, but we have them independent of the scriptures. We have affirmation from the scriptures, as John is pointing out, and handles in the sense of the scriptures to grab to. But the Holy Spirit it makes us aware of Him in His presence, mm-hmm. and then confirms that by the scriptures is kind of what we've been how we've been taking a look at this. Rather than I'll find a thing in the scripture, now I got to go make that true in my life. That isn't what the Holy Spirit's doing.
Right.
He's made Himself true in my life. And there's more to come because there's scriptures here that I might not say, well, I know, you know. But that's pointing out that as John is pointing out, we've identified it every single one that John's pointed out. And it's just the core of His life. Now, just to, and the rest of us can add things to that, just as an aside, the thing we hit 2 weeks ago in reference to why would God want to live in me in the sense of His rationale, what's He want to do with His life in coming into the created order and want to making Himself manifest, lo and behold, He does it by means of a house for Himself. Mm-hmm. And why does He want to do that is actually the overall answer to the rest of your question. Mm-hmm. But that, I know that's not really satisfying. But that's where it lies. Mm-hmm. And then it's a quest for Him in the sense of that resolution. And we'll get more of that. But I think you know what I mean by that.
Okay.
All right, so there's one wonderful little thing there, is that I have peace with God. Actually, you didn't say that. But I don't know if you... Joffe didn't say I have peace with God. It was in there. But it was, I have peace. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, then we'd say, well, why didn't you have before? And address all of that type of stuff. But packed in that is, it's because of, I have peace with God, because not only is He no longer upset with me, and that's resolved, but I am no longer upset with Him, and that's resolved. The rest of this stuff needs to be sorted out. Anybody want to add something else?
Yeah. Like to say something. What I've noticed myself is, since we started the studies, is that I've got a confidence I never had. Just something the Lord that I have. I have confidence in Him, and I.
In Him?
Yeah. I just I have troubles. I have a lot of trouble. I get mouthy and I do a lot of stupid stuff and
none of us are going to bring any of that up
anyway,
today.
But still, in the midst of a lot of the stuff I do, there's a confidence, and it's like that there's a confidence that I know that like I'll go to work and there'll be a song in my heart.
You what?
I'll have a song in my heart.
Oh.
And he's confident. He's the Lord is faithful. There'll be a song going in my heart all day. There'll be a song I'll be singing to the Lord, or it just comes out of nowhere. And You know, and then I remember when you, we were in John chapter 3, and you talked about how that us abiding in Him. And I was thinking about that, and I thought, you know, and it's just really something, because what the Lord has done in me is that He really is abiding in me. And He's being faithful. And that's kind of where the confidence is, that He's being faithful with me, mm-hmm. in the sense of He's given me a song, and He's given me a confidence that I can, you know, that I pray, that if I, you know, ask Him, you know, He will work it out somehow. Now, I haven't, mm-hmm. I don't have a peace about how He's going to work it out. And I get rattled and, you know, and a lot of things yet, but I just have a confidence that.
So the passage, I'll never leave you or forsake you?
That's never really, that doesn't.
I mean, is
that
this.
It never really went that way. It's more like that passage in Hebrews where it talks about where Jesus said that He's our brethren, and in the midst of His brethren, He's going to praise the Father.
Oh, okay.
That scripture, and then that scripture where that He's being faithful, that that He's abiding in me, and He's going to continue to be faithful. And it bothers me that I can't be faithful to Him, you know. But I still have a confidence in Him.
Yes. Maybe on with that in mind, thinking about His side of the thing, what we talked about a couple weeks ago, mm-hmm. that one of the aspects of Him that He wants us to learn by means of our experience is He enjoys His being. He enjoys what He's like. He enjoys making Himself manifest, and where has He chosen to do that? Yeah. You look at the trees and look at the animals, that's His creative aspect. That's not really His being. It's an expression of His being. I don't know how else to do it, but to say it, In our experience, in what you're describing, and the dialogue you're actually having with Him, and the assurance you have that He'll be faithful, He's going to be faithful to that. The joy of me, God, experiencing the expression of my life, and sharing the joy of the expression of my life in you, and that the interaction and the dialogue of my house participating in my faithfulness. Is that making sense? And I mean, that answers all our questions. Jaffe's answers are going to come from that. Is that what is He trying to do in me? My appreciation of Him, or why I want His life, is the awareness of that comes from the experience of what's nice about it, or enjoyable about it, or Him being faithful. I mean, you can interpret that a couple of different ways. He's going to be faithful to His promises to me, so I don't worry or fret, so I have some peace. Or He's going to be faithful in His. What's He faithful to is His character. He's faithful about Himself. And He's going to be faithful about Himself in us. And that faithfulness in us isn't keeping us in a place of peace. And that's not what He's faithful for. Or keeping us in a place of having a song in our heart. You have a song in your heart because God's having a good time being today. and we get to be aware of it. So that when you shared, well, you want to be faithful to Him, in actuality, no, you don't. Because you being faithful to Him isn't going to reap you any benefits. He being faithful to who He is in you is so much, no pun intended, trumps that, that we will begin to see what I do for God is absolutely, I don't do nothing for God. He is my everything. Now, I know that's a bunch of words and we can make Him do what we want, but what we're really talking about is the Holy Spirit wants to bring us to an experience of the participation in His life as He lives it, resolves all those issues, mm-hmm. and helps us see and perceive what life is about. And it's about Him. There's no, He doesn't ask us for anything other than up to yield up our members as instruments for His life. Paul uses instrument of righteousness and so on. But it's His avenues for Him to express Himself. It's what He made us for. And He gave us, somehow it's interesting that He gave us what we might perceive as the power or the ability to turn that switch on and off. In actuality, of His child, that's a deception. We have no power to turn that on. Am I making sense?
Yeah.
So the joy of you know, if you think of the Psalms, and the psalmist has it all the time, what was one of them today was praise the Lord with the lyre and songs of praise and things like that. And of course, in the context of David writing that in the Old Testament, that was before God the son had finished making the house for God, and so God wasn't resident. So us being happy and singing and praising Him isn't like that. It's in conjunction, it's in harmony with He who is singing. In the sense of the joy of singing, I have a song in my heart and so on, what you actually have is what? If we look at it, God's resonant in me and He's pretty doggone happy today, living inside of me. Mm-hmm. Now, it didn't require any faithfulness on your part. You gave that up to Him a long time ago. And He in turn, reciprocally, is expanding the freedom of the divine life of God to be expressive. Mm-hmm. Am I making sense, or is it
just, okay. Sense.
Yeah, and so all I want to do is put it, all these things are really on His side. He just wants to increase Him in us more and more, and growing from grace to glory to glory to glory to glory is the expression of His life. It resolves all those issues. It resolves, boy, I wish I could be as faithful to Him as He is to me. Now, that's a natural, there's nothing wrong with that desire, but it's resolved in, well, I actually, like you said, I want to be as faithful as Jesus. Well, He will be as faithful in you, for you, as Jesus, because He is your faithfulness. So those desires are resolved in Him as we begin to comprehend and understand to what ends His life goes inside of us. And there's no end to it. Mm-hmm. There's absolutely no end to it. It's going to blow our bodies apart and we'll get a new one. But there's no end to it. So the desires that we went in, and we can talk about this too, I'd suggest we get those desires from our interaction with Him. Or if someone, boy, I wish I could please You more. Or look at the wonders of You, things that You've made. Boy, I wish I could bring that and make something as wonderful, and so on. In reality, He's going to share the making of the wonderful things in us, and we'll get those from Him. At some point, it'll become a participation rather than I want to do like You're doing. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So what do we got? We got peace. Mm-hmm. We have, how would you might say, joy of His presence. Or when you're singing, what do you think? It's just because you're happy?
Yeah, it's just that.
And He makes you happy? You don't might not know why, but He makes you happy.
Confidence.
Confidence and self-assurance?
Yeah.
And why would that be? I'm pushing for an answer that somebody might ask you. I asked you.
It's just almost like a knowing.
A knowing like what?
That I can depend on Him.
Yeah, and I can depend upon Him to do or be what? What are we learning about His character that I'm happy to rely on or depend upon? I'd suggest, I'm no longer afraid of Him. And Joff used the term reconciliation. I've been reconciled, or He's reconciled to me, however we want to do the theological sides of that. So there's no separation. I can depend upon Him and rely upon Him because He, the end of it, of course, is because He is, but we've got to describe what He is.
Yeah.
And people might ask us, well, what's He like then if He got this life? And you're talking about what He's like, you're talking about the benefits of what He's like, and I can depend upon Him and rely, I have assurance and confidence today that what? I'm going to be okay. Why? Because what have I learned about Him? Huh?
He's faithful. He's true.
He's faithful and He's true to what?
To, I guess it's to Himself. It'd be to...
Yeah.
To His...
What about Himself, He's faithful and true, that gives me a confidence and a comfort and a joy or a song or a peace? Or it has to do with Him and me, right? Him and me.
Yeah.
And whatever's been resolved there... And now I'm learning about His character that in turn is manifest in me as His house in a particular way. And we've described a couple of them now. And so when we say He's so wonderful, I mean, people say that and they never describe what it is. Well, what's going to help other people is what is that? We're the ones who know, although we've never taken enough time to say, well, okay, how do I know that and what it is? And so on. He is so, if He's alive, He's describable. Mm-hmm. In some sense. I mean, I see Him okay, He's floating around over there. We described Jesus a little earlier, on the boat, taking a nap in the midst of a storm, while the brothers, I don't think there were any sisters on the boat, were freaking out. And so, that tells us something about the character of God. Oh! Jesus manifested a peace and a comfort, and He was sleeping, so a song maybe while He was taking a nap there, but a complete trust and reliance upon God. But why? I mean, if you think of what the scriptures give us, they give us little pictures and little touches, but as John unfolded to us, it's manifest in our persons and in our characters,
right.
And it is of tremendous benefit to us to pound out, why do I like You, God? Because the whole rest of the world hates You. John already had a paragraph on that. The world hates You, and they're going to hate us. Why? Because of that character of God, the proof of what He's like. The world does not like God, His character. Why? We like Him. Why? And that's what the world needs to hear. Why do we like Him? And then they'll stone us. But why do we like Him? We like Him because I can depend upon Him. Mm-hmm. And what you want to work out a little bit more is, well, depend upon Him for what? And it gives us a song and a peace and
right.
a joy, and I'm happy, and I know God did this, and I don't know why, but this is pretty cool.
And if we look, right inside, as we've been talking, I'm sort of thinking, okay, let's go right inside. And what I find is actually is the being of God right in my innermost core, I can't go any further in because I end up, you know, with him. So he is, he isn't at the core of my being, he is the core of my being. Because we're one, you know, in my, you know, right inside, and that's why I said earlier, you know, that, well, there's nothing going on inside, meaning that there's no turmoil.
Mm-hmm.
There's
I just, think we all understood.
Yeah, there's just a, like a calm and a peace, and I just, as we've been talking, I realized, wow, well, that's because he's there. He is the core of my being, and expressing himself out through me as his son. And and I think the most profound thing about God that just thrills my heart is his incredible gentleness in the way that he deals with us.
And you know that, why?
Because I'm on the receiving end of his gentleness. You know, when he teaches me, it's always in a loving way. You know, he gives me greater understanding. And I can just, I mean, you don't want to say, oh, I can feel the gentleness, but I do. I mean, it's just like a hand of love, you know, on me. And it's just wonderful, you know, when I go to him, you know, troubled or distressed or anything, then there's this, just this gentleness that, you know.
So, one of the things we could say in the midst of that is I know he's gentle because that's how he dealt with me.
Yeah.
Now, yeah. I know he's not hateful and wrathful because he wasn't that way to me.
Yeah.
Now, he may be hateful and wrathful, but I don't know that. Mm-hmm. We don't have to come up with other stuff. I know what I know.
And I trust that, again, you know, along this same line, before we really had an understanding of this, you know, there would be this concern whether, you know, we've ticked off God or he's angry at us or anything, you know. And now I think we all come to realize, well, you know, if he's ticked with us, there's no way that we wouldn't know it.
No.
I mean, no way at all. You know, if he's angry with us, you're going to know. If there's anything at all that we need to be paying attention to, we will know. We absolutely know, shadow of a doubt.
He will. That's wonderful. He will not allow us to jeopardize this relationship.
Right.
He's promised that. He's faithful. The peace that you're talking about, the peace and the joy in your, the peace that you're talking about, the joy you're talking about in your heart and your song, is because I can be dependent upon his character, and the very root of that, and it'll become more manifest to us and we'll have a greater degree of confidence, is because he literally won't let me go. Mm-hmm. Now, I know that flies in the face of we as a church that say I have to be 24/7 on a constant guard that I'm going to fall away from it. Mm-hmm. I know we're perplexed by that. His assurance that it won't happen is his presence. Mm-hmm. His presence. And his presence will, he promises in the Old Testament context, in a particular psalm, I can't remember which one it is, but if there's any idols that I have, the Holy Spirit will show them to me. Mm-hmm. And it isn't that now tomorrow events will be so that there'll be an idol that arises that he needs to show me. If he hasn't shown you yet, there aren't any.
Right.
There just are not any. We may think in our heads or feel in our emotions in a time of a perplexing situation that there's something wrong between me and God, but at the core, the next paragraph in John is going to talk about this. if you've read ahead a little bit, then it has to do with our heart. We don't trust the revelations and understandings in our heart. We trust Him. And our assurance comes from Him, not from our heart, whether we perceive it to be right or wrong. That isn't how we live. We're learning to live by a dependence upon that life of God that I know I can rely on. And that's what we've been talking about. Not about what I feel about it, or, and don't receive me wrong, not that, well, I see that I need to be more faithful to God. And that's a misinterpretation of a dependent relationship. He's not asking us for anything other than to yield up to Him. If I need to be more faithful in His context, He will be so. And He'll manifest His life in me as more faithful in His context. When we say, you know, I'm not... If I think I need to be more faithful, that's not based on Him. That's based on an assessment on myself. You should see that, and He's delivered us from that. He's actually delivered us from a self-assessment.
Right.
I can look at Jesus and not get hung up with, well, I need to be like Him. His assurance is just, we are one. I'm sharing with you who I am. And I am as faithful as you can get to my Father, because I'm actually His life.
Sorry, this is the only assessment that counts. I mean, what are we doing self-assessing? We don't know who we are, in a way.
The previous paragraphs is like, you have my nature.
Yeah.
You are my children. Whether you like it or not, right, you're my children. You may not know why, but you're my children.
Yeah, and His is the only assessment that we go by. And therefore, if we don't feel there's an assessment, then there's nothing to be assessed. You know, we're okay. So we don't have to, yeah, be in this self-assessment, because that's fruitless. That's nonsense. Because God will say, and?
Yeah. Now, there, so I think what? We might suggest that there's a proper response, right, in the sense of a desire to grow. I want to know you more. But how? If we're going to look at an assessment, or as Peter has in I think it's 2 Peter in the second paragraph of virtue and the development of virtues and so on, it became a rather intense discipline many centuries ago in the context of the church, in a quest for the development and advancement in virtues and so on. It's my answers to whatever might be perceived in me from my own perspective of a need comes from the answers in Him. And so we cry out, never cease in prayer. I cry out for a greater degree of understanding, knowledge, wisdom, perspective, comprehensive, not that you need to increase your love in me, I need to understand your manifest love in a greater degree, because He's the love. I need to grow in faith. I need to grow in an appreciation of your person. That answers the growth in faith. That answers the growth in a greater love, is knowing Him. And so look at the prayers I don't know if we'll live long enough to get that far in our discussion into Ephesians and Colossians in the prayers. And they're always the knowledge of God, an understanding, a comprehension, a wisdom, and a comfort, and the full assurance of faith in the manifest life of God in us. And that's our focus needs to be, and the Holy Spirit's doing it, narrowing in on He and He alone. Answers all this stuff, all this peripheral stuff, is answered in that. And that's not a simple answer, that's the answer. It's simple in the sense of, do you know where to look for all of this stuff? Yeah. And it's in the person of God. We actually don't think that's achievable until we begin to realize the peace or the joy in my heart and a song or any of these things are actually tangibly the life of God. That's what he looks like. That's what he feels like. That's what he tastes like. That's what his joy in living today in me is. And it's really him. It's not because he's there and now I'm happy that I'm okay. It's because it's him. And we may not have attributed those things to him, but the Holy Spirit is showing us indeed that that's the life of God in me. And we, in our just the end of our previous discussion, part of our discussion, is I would not be a child of God. I can't be a child of God and have those things in me. If they're in me, previous paragraph in 1 John, I have the nature, that's the nature of God in a human being. Why in the world was Jesus happy? He may not have known intellectually in the spur that he was happy because of his being. Because his life is joy and being. And it comes out in all kinds of different ways.
We don't often think about when we say Christ my life, okay, but then when we actually realize that my life is love, joy, peace, being, eternity, I mean that those are all the attributes and characteristics of my life. And we don't think about that, when we just say glibly, oh, Christ is my life.
Yeah.
Well, okay, but there are a lot of positive characteristics of my life that I might need to pay attention to.
Yeah.
And start actually acknowledging.
Well, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is teaching us what that life is. And he will bring us to the manifest articulation and living witness and testimony that God is, the list of his character, that God is love, that he's gentleness and kindness, that he's joy in living and in being, that he's all those things in our own experience. And that, and then we'll be able to write those down as a point of fact. We can see the list, and we may say, well, I don't experience this. We are in the process of manifesting that list. So when he says, and I think it's Paul, where he says, we are a written epistle. So we are the written letter of God to the rest of mankind, that this is what I'm like, God says. And it'll be like that. And people look and say, well, God's love, or he's kindness, or he's gentleness, or that's a weird thing for a human being to do. Why was he so nice to that woman who was committing adultery? Why didn't he just stone her? That's just the way he's going to, and we see those things coming out of us. So our discussion here is really try to recognize some of those things of which we are. Yeah. And it'll just get greater and greater and more, and the benefits of that, which God is very happy with, is Curtis having a song in his heart, or joy in being today, or maybe not being so confused, or whatever it happens to be, or there's nothing wrong with the struggle of, boy, I don't want to go to work today, I don't feel, I'm just not picking on any one of it, I don't like to go to work, I just want to go do something, and so on and so forth, and we will experience the joy of God's being in the midst of that. That's what he wants to do. It isn't why I should ignore that so I can get on with God. No, he wants to be in the midst of the experience of the struggle of his life in the midst of a fallen world. And it feels sometimes not very nice. And where else, this is pushing it a bit, but where else is God going to experience feelings but in us, by our definition? We're the only place. We are the only place.
And we have to accept in the way that, you know, our situations, that the experience of feelings is a joy to God, whether they are, you know, good feelings or bad feelings.
Yeah.
The experience of feeling, just the experience of His creation.